First of all, I want to remind you that we have an opportunity here to develop camaraderie, to develop family traits, family likenesses. And I know today's a day where a lot of people are gone today for a number of reasons. So that's been shared a few times already. You know, we're about half the size we normally are. But anytime that's the case, I am totally thrilled with who's here, because I know that God has brought who He wanted to bring here. And for me, it's family. And so whenever you see family members, you're excited. And so I'm so happy to see you and happy that you're here. I do want to remind you that we are here to keep pushing each other on to become more of who God is intending us to be. In any way that you can help one another, and you can help us and vice versa, let's think of it that way. Don't think of it like your school environment where you're competing with other people for your grades, for your class standing, for your APs. What did you get? You know, oh, I got this. What did you get? Where did you get into? That kind of stuff really fosters kind of a certain... Well, that's exactly the kind of that orphan spirit that we're trying to say, hey, you know, raise myself and look where I got, and it's all about, you know, my effort and everything like that. I want to kind of push that aside and remind you that every time you come here, we're trying to create an environment such that we acknowledge that, yeah, but that's not exactly how it really should be and how we want our time together to be. So I want our time together to be always like, I'm accepted here. I'm welcome here. I know that I'm expected to give my best here, because you know that should be any case in any family, right? But we're going to work with failure. We're going to work with faults and stuff like that. But I do ask that you give your best, because if we don't give our best, we're not going to be able to do together what I think we can do together. And if we're still always each and every week at the same place of like, yeah, I've seen you like for the last 3 years of my TD life, and I still don't know you. Can you take a step out and maybe make a change? Can you step out and ask, hey, you know what? I haven't met you. I've seen you for a couple of years, but hey, I just want to let you know it's really good to see you. Ask a few questions. Just get to know each other. Now let's start building some camaraderie. Is that all right? I guess we could do some more forced camaraderie with interactive games and things like that, which we could do that. But, you know, we'll see if, when we can. But even if we don't do that, maybe you can work on it yourself. Make an effort. Make an effort to know your leaders. Make an effort to know each other. Converse. And places that we're weak, let's work on that. But you're fortunate. I'm fortunate. We have a family to come to. We want to build it to be really something special, where you feel like, hey, I'm here and I'm glad to be here, and I can't wait to be here, because I know that I'm going to be pointed to the Lord, and that's always a good thing. I might be challenged sometimes, and that makes me uncomfortable sometimes, but I know that I'm going to be loved, and it's okay. I'm going to come as I am. Okay, is that you know, setting the tone, is that, can you buy in? So I've been sharing this like all year, and little by little I think we're seeing some movement, but it's going to take buy-in, and I'm going to need some people to just say, hey, you know what, I'm not going to be one of those guys just sitting on the sidelines all the time and just, you know, hearing Arthur all the time, but I'm going to take what he says to heart. I'm going to try, and just trust in this, okay? So we've been talking about, the whole theme of rehabituating our life in Christ. And this year is particularly a little bit different than normal, because we're going a lot slower. And each week I'm actually reviewing like the last third of the previous week. So it's important to be able to do what we're trying to do. I'm going to need you guys to actually review what we've been doing, because this kind of teaching is pretty elementary, but it's very foundational. So I've been going very slow. If you get TD years in the past, you go on the website and you see And we've got a lot of messages going right through material at a very strong pace. And yeah, we covered it, but this material is not just stuff to say, yeah, I heard it once, so therefore I'm godly, therefore I put in my time. The material we're going over together is critical for you to master, and more importantly than that, it's critical that it masters you and that it becomes a part of your everyday living. So I have to ask you, could you please be open to making the effort to doing a little extra homework during the week, going back, revisiting the messages, and work on implementing. Like the message before this one, I think it was is huge. It was so important, so vital. I'd love for you to go back and really get solid on that. And this, you know, I told the leaders this week, that goes for you too, leaders. Because no way a leader is going to be leading you into something that we ourselves haven't been solidly ingrained in. It's just not right. It's like, I'm going to lead you to someplace I haven't been. No, we're not. And maybe we'll journey together, but if we can go there as well, a little bit ahead of time, then we can kind of pave the way a little bit. So I want to remind you, could you please invest in your own spiritual life, which will actually, the stronger the people are that come in here, then we have more people who are engaged. And who knows what God can do? That's just like your donor said. I mean, let's not put a cap on it. But let's at the same time not think that just because we sat and put our, you know, bottoms on the ground, think we've done anything. We haven't done. We're here so that we can refresh, reset, and so that we can do something. So it's just kind of like giving you some food here so that you can go back and now really chew on this. So that's my preface here, and I hope you know, you can take it to heart, because where I'm praying TD will be heading, it's going to take a necessity of a buy-in from you guys. And so I'm going to ask you to, you know, just really change the whole disposition. So I'm going to really, I have actually about half my notes, and I'm actually going to cut through. I'm going to skip, actually, a good bit of it, and I'm going to kind of get close to where I want to end up. And then we're gonna start getting practical here. And it's just going to start here. I was wondering how this was going to work today, but I have a better idea. Now that, you know, we don't have as many people here, I think this is going to work really, really well. But at the beginning of the year, do you guys remember I introduced a three-prong approach to life that I strongly and firmly believe, you know, every Christian life should be engaged with. You remember the first prong is what? Upward, yeah, thank you. That's upward is engagement with God. The word engage means is this feel, like it's engaging. It's not sitting passively. Engagement is like interacting back and forth, pull and tug and push and pull and getting in and getting messy together. Engagement with God. I suggested also that we have to have as a part of our everyday life an outward prong, an engagement with our culture, engagement with society, that has to be part of the Christian life. That's just equal there. And then we have to have a downward engagement with which we're really working on right now, right? Especially with the V for V. And so we're doing upward, outward, and downward engagement. And what I shared last time is this: we can't even hope to broach the excellence of living that God has designed for His own redeemed, adopted children to live. We can't even approach the excellence that He wants from us. We can't approach the excellence that you actually want, because nobody actually wants mediocrity. Nobody wants to be blah. Nobody really wants to be nah, so-so. Innate within each of us is a desire for excellence, a desire for greatness, sometimes a desire for our greatness, which needs to get chopped down. But there is nothing wrong with actually desiring excellence and desiring greatness of things happening, because God is great, God is excellent. That is His very nature. That's His very nature. And you guys all, nobody pays to go to a game or a show or a movie to watch mediocrity. You want excellence because we are designed and built for excellence because we're made in the image of the excellent one. And so, if you're hoping to even broach and get close to start heading in that direction, which is what I'm praying that you would be really passionate about doing, that can't happen unless you are gratefully reaching upward to be in connection and in relationship, a vibrant one that is life-giving with God. And when we're not reaching out intentionally, outwardly, and bringing the light of Christ as carriers of that light, as windows through which the light can shine, but not definitely being the lights ourselves, because we're not. We're really like the moon more than the sun. He's the sun, but we're really just the reflection. But the more that we can allow that to happen to our spiritually dark communities, and when we're, you know, not compassionately reaching downward to help those who can't help themselves, defending the defenseless like Scripture implores us to do, then we're not really acting like members of God's family act, because that is precisely how God's people, the people who bear His name, who's got His last name, that's how they act. That's when we want to look like our Father. And so, I spoke last time about family traits, and you guys all agreed that my family has family traits that you all recognize. And I said, well, so do you, and you guys have family traits too, and you can tell who are siblings and who, we all have family traits. But what is the family trait of God's family? What does that family trait look like? Let me skip here. As Rebecca referred to earlier, the fact that those who have surrendered their lives to Christ, and when we say surrender our lives, it doesn't mean, Lord, I've been really, really trying hard to get here, and I haven't been able to get here, so I'm going to surrender that to you and see if you can get me there. That's too manipulative. That's not right. Surrendering is saying, Lord, maybe that isn't even where you want me to be. Where do you want me to be? I surrender my goals, my dreams. I surrender my life to you because you're the one who wrote it in the first place. And you know what you want from my life because you're the one who gave me life. You're the one who designed me as I am. You're the one who gave me these gifts, who gave me these quirks. You're the one who made me look like I do. You've put me in this family. You want me for something. I'm going to let you decide where you want me to be and how you want me to be, and I'm going to follow that. Whatever it is, I surrender. That's surrendering. And for those who have in fact surrendered their lives to Christ, there's no such thing as a partial surrender. It's an all or nothing proposition. But if you have, God promises that He will adopt you fully and completely, and you will be an orphan no more. You'll be in His family. And you'll have all the rights and all the privileges that come with bearing His name. And that's a huge, huge, huge thing. And I don't even know if we know that yet. I don't even know if we kind of value or really recognize what we've been given. And if we don't, maybe we haven't really surrendered. Because those who have surrendered kind of know they're hopeless without Him. And then you will start to get to know, as life goes on, exactly what He is giving you entrance into. And what it means for Him to be your Father. Let me skip here. Okay, as far as giftedness goes in the family of God, it is definitely true that there are differing personalities. You see it here in this room. And even in this room, a lot of people from other cultures would look in this room and say, we've been gifted the same way. We kind of look, you've heard the old phrase, oh, all Asians look alike or whatever, which is not true. But in a way, for other sets of eyes, maybe it is. I'm sure I would have a hard time distinguishing some of the other cultures as well. So I don't take offense at that. I just laugh at it. But he's given us, those of us who are in this culture, we see that everyone is different. Everyone's unique. Everyone is blessed. And everyone's been given given a lot and been withheld from a certain way that God has in mind. We've been given different styles, that for sure, and different flavors of how this may look. But I want you to know and remind you that those born of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit is the one who gives us spiritual birth. So here you are, dead in your trespasses and sins, according to Ephesians 2. Dead, dead, dead. And God, the Holy Spirit, comes not because you invited Him, because you're dead. Dead people don't invite anybody, do they? They're dead. And if they're dead, they're dead. That means no life, not a little bit of life, not like, I'm sinking, can you help me? It's not even that. It's just, I have no affection when I'm born for God at all. I have no desire for Him. I have no connection to Him because I'm born in sin. And the wages of sin is death. There's a separation. Instantly, the moment we are conceived, we are conceived as spiritual orphans right from the get-go. Spiritually dead. Stillbirth. There's not one righteous, not even one. There's none who seeks God, none who desires God, none who wants God's pleasure, none who love God or long for Him when they're conceived or born, and after that born. None. There's only been one in human history, in the entire human history. How many billions of people are that? I mean, I don't know. But there's only been one who's actually ever loved God. But God has loved continuously, successively, perseveringly, and only one has ever loved Him in return. The rest of us have been dead to Him. And so it requires the Holy Spirit to come and give us a spiritual birth. And just like none of you had any influence on how you were born, to whom you were born, what traits you were born. You didn't say, hey, Mom, make me tall because I want to dunk when I grow up. That was for you. I want to be able to be not just a setter, but I want to be able to be on the front of the net. You didn't have that request. Now, if you're a Mormon, your theology says that technically you probably could make that request because Mormon theology says that we are eternal spirits, that we are already there and just waiting to get inhabited into a body. But that we already are. The Bible, Orthodox Christianity, is not that way because we were nothing. And then when we were conceived is when we were given our spirits. But those spirits being dead need another birth. And that's why we talk about, you ever heard the phrase being born again? That's what it's referring to, that there's a spiritual birth. There's a physical birth that obviously is real, but there's a spiritual birth that must occur. And that just as unilateral as your physical birth was, where you didn't have any rights, any choices in the matter at all, it's not your doing that the Holy Spirit came and gave you birth. It has been totally His will. But when He breathes that life into you, and you get that spiritual heartbeat, that new affection, then you start seeing God. And when you see God, that is when you say, wow, I've never seen it like this before. And I've heard these verses at church all these years, but there comes a time when God breathes that life, opens up your eyes, and you say, wow, this is in color. I've never seen it like this. I see what you mean, God. How could I ever do otherwise? I surrender. And that's when you, quote unquote, invite the Spirit into your life. That's when you, quote unquote, accept Christ. I don't like that phrase. I don't use it, but some of you do, so I'm going to say it just for you guys. That's when you come to Christ. Because He has opened your eyes. You were blind, but now you see. And then that's when you respond, but after He has first chosen you and made you orphans no more. But there's a whole new life now of learning what it means to live under His direction, as part of His family, as part of His army that is roaming planet Earth. So our lives are way, way, way beyond what we've been thinking they were or been taught they were, been impressed upon what they were. It's way bigger than that. It's way bigger than that. And so I want to get us into that mindset. If you are a Christian today, then these prongs, these upward, outward, downward prongs, will be a regular staple in your life and growingly so. And so what we want to do is we want to start with the upward engagement and kind of get practical and talk a little bit about, okay, I get it, but how do we engage upward with God? If I were to ask you, how is your relationship with God? Maybe you can ask yourself that. And if I ask you to rank it from 0 to 10, 10 being best, what would you give it? Give it a number. Don't tell me. Just, but God knows. Give it a number right now. Second question. If I were to ask you to kind of rate your time with the Lord, the way you engage with Him, how would you rate that from a 0 to 10? What number would you give it? Your personal time with the Lord, where you're always with the Lord, so I'm not saying, you know, anything except maybe some protracted times. Do you know how to be with God? Or like me, I mean, I'm on the move so much. A lot of my time with God is on the move. I have to slow myself down. I was telling Sandra this week as I was preparing for this. I have to slow myself down so much. I have to, and even when I'm on my knees and I'm praying, I'm still yapping in my head. And then I have to say, Arthur, you got to shut up. You talk, you know, just shut up. Just, and so then I'll wait and I'll be quiet. And then all these thoughts will be racing in my head. I say, wait, hold on. And so it's a struggle. It's something I have to fight for, because I need to learn how to listen and stuff like that better with the Lord. And I feel like sometimes it's just like quiet and silent. I said, well, okay, if you're not going to say anything, maybe I'll usher up a few more requests to you. But He's wanting my soul to be still. But I'm asking you, you know, so in that kind of private time, what number would you give it? Next question. For those same two questions, what number do you think God would give it? What number do you think God would give His time with you? And most of you are going to be really hard on yourself because that's kind of the way we are. But just really, God is very generous. He understands. And so what time would He give? Or what number would He give? Those questions I want you to just kind of think about. We want to start upward today. And we're going to kind of get practical. And next week we may go outward, but I'm going to see how it goes today. Okay? And we'll see how this goes, and then we're going to have a lot less of me talking. So the good news is that I'm almost done. And the next good news is that we're going to have some time to engage with God, or at least to keep working on it. But foundationally, we have to learn our basic skill sets in order for us to do anything great. And if you can't do the basics well, you can't do anything better than that. And so if we want to really be better and do it in a sustainable way that can keep growing the rest of your lives, and you guys are really young, you got to know that, so you've got a lot of life ahead of you, Lord willing, then build your foundation really solidly. So we're going to be almost painstakingly slow this year and just really kind of laying the groundwork, making sure the cement is set before we put on the next brick. Really want to just be slow so we get some solid ground so that you can have a potential to launch later in a way. And I don't for a minute suspect or think that we will have the benefit of seeing your fruit and excellence while you're still in TD. But that's okay, because we want to be ground layers for you. And that when you start to thrive in college and past young adulthood and start to really look back at your building blocks, that you'll be able to look back and say, hey, you know what? A lot of this foundation was built there at TD. And if that's the case, then I'm thrilled. I'd be thrilled for that. Okay, so I have a long-term view of this. So we start upward. It all starts at the top. And like I said, you can't go upward and not eventually go outward and downward. It's just not possible. Because if you truly engage upward, you're going to be like Him, and He's outward and downward. So That's the case. However, it is possible to dupe ourselves. It's possible to fool ourselves and get all religious on people by going outward and downward without ever really going upward. That is so possible. And that's human religion. That's been done. That is being done. It's very possible to go outward and downward without going upward. So I want you to know that you go upward, you'll go outward and downward, but just because you go outward and downward doesn't mean you've gone upward. So you have to really be zoned in on that. And don't turn a blind eye to it, because you know that if you build a foundation and there's a big hole in there and no one's looking, so you just kind of cover it up, you're going to pay the price later. You're going to pay the price. Take care of the business now. Take care of it early. Take the painstaking time and detail to get your foundation solidly right. That's what this time is here for. I'm not expecting amazing things from high schoolers just yet, but I do want to really lay this as a launching pad so that you can have amazing lives in Christ and that you'll be doing amazing things in Christ. And I'd just love to see that in your adult lives. But if we're going to talk about upward engagement with God, there's a lot of ways to do that, but one of the ways that we need to do that is we have to have time with God, and we have to learn how it is to meet with Him. I mean, that's basic, right? You have to be able to meet with Him. And so as fundamental as that may sound, that's pretty much what we're going to focus on today. How do you meet with God? How do you meet with Him? I have a book called Soul Keeping. I was going to read to you 3 pages of it, but I forgot it at home as I was leaving, and so I left it on the desk. So I'm not going to read it, but let me tell you one thing that's important. If you're going to engage with God well, you're going to have to speak a language. I've told you that I'm always, and it's still true, I'm always every day thinking, how are we and the girls going to communicate? I'm always wondering that. And I told you that I'm always looking, I'm always thinking, like, once I tell them I'm their daddy, and they look at me like I've never met you in my life, I say, how is this going to go? We're going to have to develop communication and find a language to communicate in. But I think about it, and you know, it's not too different than the way we are meeting with God. Some of us are meeting here, and we don't really have the language. There's like a language barrier between God and you. So one way to bridge that is getting familiar with the way He speaks, with the way He thinks, with the way He talks. And so therefore, He's given us this immense gift. Right now, Sandra and I are taking courses upon courses upon courses on adoptive parenting, trust-based relational intervention, post-trauma, attachment, abandonment, all sorts of stuff to figure out how to connect with these girls. God has given us ability to connect with Him, and it starts here. It starts here. So instead of waiting for the audible voice of God, He says, yeah, I'll tell you what, I'm going to give you something better. I'm going to give you my voice, and I'm going to write it down, and in case you forget it, you're going to have it here to look after. And as you grow and mature in how you learn how to use language, and in your classes, and you learn how to understand things better, you'll be able to understand me more. And so He's given us the Bible. We've got to know God's Word so well. We've got to keep working on hearing. And just like a little child learns how to understand what his daddy or his mommy wants, more and more that they live with Him, you too can do that. And it's going to be really important to have your Bibles open a lot. The law of God is so key. Because first of all, know not only what He's saying, but know what His desires are. Know what His kind of intentions are. He gives us laws, and some of us just look at the law and we look at it devoid of the lawgiver, right? You look at just the law. You don't really look at who it is that's giving it or why He's giving it. But I say, look at the law. Get familiar with His law. What does He want you to do? What does He not want you to do? What does He exhort you to say, I want this out of you, and this one, I want you not to do this? And just think, why? What you'll find is that when you get to know the parameters of your life really, really well, and you know what you can do, what you can't do, and you know the space that you're able to live in, then you're free to live within that space pretty free, because you'll know your boundaries. And once you know those boundaries so well, which is the law, anything within those boundaries, have at it. Have a great time. Play around like you're in God's family. Play, you know, play in His yard. But a lot of us hear different messages from within and from without, and we don't know really what's true and what's not, right? We don't really know if God would approve of this or not, and we don't really bother to find out. And so we've got these gray, half-erected fences, and we kind of play close to the edge, and we don't really know if He meant here or not, and I kind of would rather go here, and so I don't know if He... But if I don't know, then how could He blame me? So I'm not going to find out, and then I'm going to go outside the boundaries. The boundaries are there for your protection. It's for there for your optimum performance, as it were. And so the more you know those boundaries really, really well, you know His heart is always for you. You have a Father whose heart is for you. It's for you. And so when He puts those parameters and He says, this is where you're going to flourish best. I made humans, and I know what their parameters are. I'm the inventor. The inventor knows what the parameters are. So get to know God's law really well. And when you do, you can play hard and play free. It's true in anything in life. Also, I would encourage you to memorize Scripture as much as you can. We got Bible drillers here? Alumni? Or maybe some are Bible drillers now, but or alumni. What are you doing? You're memorizing verses, and you're memorizing concepts. You're memorizing express propositions, which is great. You'll know exactly what God wants. But I want to start encouraging you as well, and we've done this for a long time at TD in years past, where you would memorize chapters as well. So not just the one verse that gives you a specific content, a line, like a good quotes type of, you know, entry, but when you get to know the chapter well and you memorize the chapter, then you're not only getting God's ideas or His express content in your mind and soul, but you are also getting His thought patterns, His way of thinking, you know, His train of thought. And that's important, not to know just the content, but also why He arrives at that, what His feelings are about it. And when you know chapters, then it gives you a context for that. That's really important. And then just keep rehearsing, reciting it. And you guys are young, like I said, but even if you end up memorizing a chapter and say you rehearse that chapter even twice a week, let's say, once or twice a week, well, in 1 year, it'll be somewhere between 25 and 50 times that you've rehearsed the best stuff on earth. The Bible is the best stuff on earth. The Bible is all Scripture, if you know this verse and you memorize, all Scripture is, 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is what? God-breathed or inspired by God. Profitable for teaching, rebuke, correction, and training in righteousness, so that what? Equipped for every good work. I mean, your key to life, that, who doesn't want to be equipped for every good work, be adequate, be full, be taught well, be corrected rightly, be trained? I mean, who doesn't want that? This is the Scripture will give all that to you. But it says that all Scripture is inspired by God. The literal Greek term is not inspired, because when we inspire, we breathe into. The literal term is expired. But what do you think of when you think of expire? Something that expired. Milk. And expired milk is gross and bad and not to be used, right? But do you realize this? That all Scripture is expired, breathed out by God. Can I ask you, is there any other text that you can think of on planet Earth that has been expired, breathed into by God? Is there any song, any lyric, any stanza, any article, any book, any paragraph? Is there anything that you can think of on this planet that actually has been expired by God, that has His own signature to it? Christian books are great, but they're not expired by God. I can't think of one. And we have access then to the nuclear bomb. We have access to nuclear power. Why do we spend so much time listening to the thoughts expired by people very, very, very small and very short-sighted and very unwise? And how many of you would say you've got more of those thoughts in your mind, memorized, ingrained, than you do of the one who controls it all? It's huge. And so, there's a video I posted last year, but this is a good time just as a Sandra, I don't know, how many chapters are you up to now?
About 18.
So Sandra recites 18 chapters of Scripture every day. So what I was saying is, if you do it once a week at least, that's 52 times a year, let's say. You live 10 years, that's 520 times. You live 20 years, that's 1,000 times. What do you think it's going to do to you just internally when you have 1,000 times of something, God's Word, nuclear dynamite, roaming through your soul? Is that going to make a difference in your life? When you've got nuclear power in your... I mean, it can't help it. Never mind every day. I recite my set of chapters. I have 8 every week. So a couple of them, maybe a couple times a week, every week. But Sandra does it every day. It can't help. But anyway, here's just a... Take a look at this.